TalkZone.com.
What happens when you put a bear with an attorney? You get Barely Legal. In the next hour, former Chicago Bear and nine-time pro football player Robin Earle and co-host attorney David Spada, along with special contributor Elliot Harris, will tackle sports, interview current and former professional athletes, and discuss legal issues in sports. And they promise the next hour will be as exciting as a game-winning touchdown, a walk-off home run, or a buzzer-beating shot. Now, Barely Legal.
Good morning, everyone, and a cold morning it is. Welcome back. This is the Barely Legal Show here on WIND AM 560. I'm Robin Earle, former fullback and tight end for your Chicago Bears, and my co-hosts sitting in with me are David Spada, attorney at law, and, of course, our great Sun-Times columnist, Mr. Elliot Harris. And we've got a couple extra guests in here. We'll introduce them in a couple minutes here. We've got Robert Mackey and of course, Dave Lettman in here, but we'll get you on the mic here in a second or two. But first of all, I want to thank our title sponsor, Midwest Energy, who has for the past decade saved mid-sized to Fortune 500 business owners tens of millions of dollars on their energy costs throughout the Chicagoland area. Go to MidwestEnergyInc.com for your free quote today. Gentlemen, unfortunately, we can't comment on the Bears' Patriots game that has already been played because, you know.
Well, we could, but we'd have no idea.
We'd have to be, we'd have to be mind readers, psychics. But we're going to talk a bunch about it, and let's get our first guest on the line here. And he is just I admired this guy. I played against him and used to beat our butts once in a while when he was with the Stanford Cardinals there in the Pac-8.
You're lucky you didn't have to defend him.
I know. But anyway, we got Hall of Famer James Lofton, wide receiver, former Green Bay Packers. Former Raider, former a couple other teams, I think.
The Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill, that's right. James, how you doing out there?
I'm doing great. And let me just tell you right off the bat, I love the format of the show. You've got a player, an attorney, and a writer. So you guys could get together and solve the collective bargaining issues with the players and owners in about 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all. Hey, James, of course, you do some great work on Westwood One on the radio work. And where are you going to be this week?
That's right. And this week I am in Dallas and with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys and round number one for those guys.
You know what? Get those Cowboys fired up because we need them to beat the Eagles to keep the Bears kind of on the kind of in that little upper niche of the if there's a tiebreaker that comes down the list. But our Bears, are you surprised at their record right now?
You know, I think people could be surprised at their record if they had not watched them play each and every week. But if you really have watched them play and if you've taken a look at what they have. Defensively, they have good players at each level. Julius Peppers goes without saying. And then the two linebackers, Briggs and Urlacher. And guy who's really underrated, I think, is Charles Tillman. I think he's a really good corner. When I was coaching with the San Diego Chargers, we made sure that where he was when we were throwing the ball in his area, because I just think he's really instinctive. So they've got good people over there. And then when you flop it over offensively, I think a lot of the question marks would be, you know, how would Mike Martz do with Jay Cutler? Would they just throw the ball like crazy? Would he throw 50 interceptions again? Well, Jay Cutler's taken good care of the football. And when he's been able to do that, they now have a team that complements their defense. So, you know, they can score some points. They've got some speed on offense outside in Johnny Knox and Devin Hester and a really fine tight end in Olsen. And Matt Forte is kind of one of those do-everything backs that's really underappreciated.
James, David Spada here, but this line scares me. I'm afraid that this line cannot hold up against the pass rush. And they look like if you attack this line with some speed, they're in trouble.
Well, that's every offensive line. And the key to holding up against the pass rush, and Robin will tell you this, you got to be able to run the football. And you can't be in a game where all of a sudden in the second quarter you're down 17 points and it's going to be pass every down for the rest of the game. Nobody can hold up under that type of issue. And the game that everybody goes back to is the 52-sack game against the New York Giants.
52 sacks.
You keep thinking about that game. But really, that was one of those glitches in the matrix, I guess, that happened. And since then, they've done a pretty good job of protecting Jay Cutler.
As a receiver, would you have liked to have an offensive coordinator like a Mike Martz calling plays for you?
It's funny because when you look back on kind of the how the passing game has evolved over the last 15 years, the short pass is really what's become in vogue. And because I was looking at Wes Welker's stats going into this Sunday's ball game, he's averaging 9.8 yards a catch. I mean, that would have been embarrassing for a receiver to average under 10 yards, really average under 15 yards a catch back in the 70s or 80s. But now you're looking at the top receivers, and a guy averaging 12, 13 yards a catch, that's kind of the norm. So, but when you look at the bodies on a lot of these wide receivers, they really are the running backs who were playing in the 70s. Now they're just playing wide receiver. You know, you look at a guy like Andre Johnson, you know, 6 feet tall, 215 pounds for the Houston Texans. He would have been a really, really good running back in 1980.
I see that you were coaching with the Raiders. You coached with the Chargers here, and you were one of the finalists for the Raider job. There's three jobs open right now. Are you putting your name in the hat?
You know, I think if somebody called and I got a chance to really go in and interview, and it was a situation where I thought I could really make a difference, I would take a good look at it. But, you know, you never know about things like that.
Well, I think you're in a good position, James. You're sitting up high. You get to see the game. You don't have the pressures.
I get the second guess.
You get the second guess. You know, the coaching thing is, when you and I came out, I mean, obviously you had a heck of a long career, 16 plus years, whatever. And then, of course, you went into coaching. I got nine in, but the thing was, is that I came out in the mid 80s. There wasn't any money in coaching then. You know, there really wasn't. And then I was already 31, 32 years old. Where do I start? Supposed to be a graduate assistant back at, University of Washington where I grew up. I don't know. Yeah, what did we get back then? Maybe a couple hundred bucks a week and had the ability to coach. But, I'm looking here too. I said, there's one reason I liked about you because you were a track star too at Stanford.
Right.
Yeah.
In the long jump. Track and field for, you know, the 4 years while I was there, and it really helped me as a football player because, you know, I went in as a guy with kind of average speed, and I got faster, and that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't run track and field. But now, you know, guys go to college, and the first thing they want to do, you know, wide receiver, defensive back, they want to put 15 pounds on them. And back then, there wasn't as big an emphasis for guys to muscle up, and, you know, that's just the way the game has evolved now. I'll look at an offensive lineman who's 6'4", 305 pounds, and go, boy, that guy looks kind of frail. And, you know, 25 years ago, he would have been the biggest offensive lineman on the field.
And then about 5 years after he's out of the game, he'll be back down to about 220, right?
Or he could be 420.
Depending on his eating habits.
Yeah, Robin, exactly.
I'll tell you this. When we were playing, guys were either trying to put on 10 pounds or they're trying to take off 10 pounds.
Every day.
And now you see them. And you see the guys who are trying to keep the 10 pounds off, and they haven't been so fortunate to do it.
James, a lot of talk here in Chicago about Devin Hester. I mean, he's one of the greatest returnmen of all times. They shouldn't have put him on offense. What's your opinions on that?
Well, I think they had a need on offense. And I really believe that when you look at somebody like Devin Hester, you have to wonder, how can we get the ball in his hands more often without diminishing what he does as a punt returner? And there's so much learning that has to be done to play receiver, because if you really go back on it, Devin Hester, when he was in college, he was a really fine defensive back. And we remember that, and because he was such a good returner, then at Miami they said, well, maybe we can also make him play receiver a little bit or put him in the back and just hand him the ball. So he's such a talented player that you keep looking at ways to try and get him the ball, and maybe it hasn't been as successful as what a lot of people would like, but I still think that he's coming around, and he's still getting better at it. And as long as the guy's improving, I think you stick with him, because, you know, coming into this week, you know, just 32 catches, fourth on the team, but still an important component because defenses have to defend against him.
Yeah, we're talking with James Lofton, Hall of Fame wide receiver, mostly known for the Green Bay Packers.
He won a couple of rings at Buffalo.
You know, and how close did Devin come last week against Detroit of breaking that one in the third? Was it the third quarter? I believe it was. And I, you know, that would have been his jersey would have been hanging in Canton. But I think he's going to get a return in at least one of them in the next four games. Let's hope.
If I'm the opposing special teams coach, I can't believe that I would kick it to him. And a lot of people try and kick it to him on the side. And I remember talking to some of the Bears coaching staff, and they said, that's the best place for him because he's in that small little window between the numbers and the hash, and he can just make one move sideways, another move sideways, and then take off. And we've all seen him do that. And, you know, you would think that that would be the place to kick it to him, but it's hard to corral him there also.
James, you got four AFC championship rings with Buffalo?
I got three. I was there for three out of the four.
Gotcha.
If I'd been there for the fourth, we'd have won big time.
James, we're up against the clock. You hear that background music? Hey, what a pleasure having you on. It's a good way to kick off our show early in the morning here. And, hey, the best of luck with you. And
great talking to you as always, Robin.
And it always
get that collective bargaining thing solved.
There you go.
We'll take care of it.
This is the Barely Legal Show.